తక్షణం సత్ప్రదస్తమోమలైర్హం స్థితి పరం యథా జస్ట్ యాజ్ నాభా ద స్కై వాయు ఆఫ్ ఎయిర్ అనలా ఫైర్ అంబు వాటర్ భూ అండ్ ఎర్త్ గుణై బై ద క్వాలిటీస్ కర్త ఆగతై విచ్ కమ్ అండ్ గో వా ఓర్ రితు గుణై by the qualities of the seasons, such as heat and cold, nasajyate is not entangled, tatha similarly, aksharam, the absolute truth, sattvarajatama, of the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Malai, by the contaminations. Ahammate, of the conception of false ego. Samsriti, hetuvi, by the causes of material existence. Param, the Supreme. Translation. The sky may display the various qualities of the air, fire, water, and earth that pass through it, as well as such qualities as heat and cold, which continually come and go with the seasons. Yet, the sky is never entangled with any of these qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Absolute Truth is never entangled with the contaminations of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which cause the material transformations of the false ego. Purport, the word Ahammate here indicates the conditioned living entity who becomes manifest with the false ego of a particular material body. By contrast, the personality of Godhead is unaffected by the modes of nature, and thus he is never covered by a material body and never subject to false ego. As described here, the Lord is eternally infallible and pure. Om Jnanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. I was born in the deepest darkness of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but by the mercy of the topmost swan-like devotee and wandering mendicant, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has kindly come to us with the torchlight of knowledge, we are able to see and understand these scriptures such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate kriyam yat kripa tamaham vande sri gurun dinatarinam. By the mercy of the acharyas coming in parampara, a lame man can cross over mountains, a dumb man can speak philosophy, and a deaf man can hear transcendental sound vibrations. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. yata nabo vyagalam bubu gunair gatagatair vartu gunair vasajite tatakshanam sattva rajastamo malair ahammate samsthiti hetu viparam. The sky, and here the sky refers to akash, or the space. The sky may display the various qualities of the air, fire, water, and earth that pass through it, as well as such qualities as heat and cold, which continually come and go with the seasons. Yet the sky is never entangled with any of these qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Absolute Truth is never entangled with the contaminations of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which cause the material transformations of the false ego. So, the false ego, here indicated by the words aham mate, or as stated in Bhagavad Gita, aham mameti, right?
Bhagavatam,
aham mameti. Here it is, aham mate. Here it indicates the conditioned living entity. So the conditioned living entity is conditioned. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Svarat. He's completely independent. He's avidya. He's fully cognizant of everything. He can never, ever be covered. Can never, ever be influenced by anything else. Because if he was influenced by something else, that power would be greater than his own power. For example, when I was first getting into spiritual life, of course, I hadn't met the devotees yet, but our group of people, we were reading the books and visiting Swamis who were of the Mayavadi persuasion. So I remember one of my friends, he had just gone to see some Swami and he came back and said, "Wow, the greatest realization. I've understood the absolute truth." I said, "What is it?" "We're all God." I said, "Really?" "Yeah. Well, how come I don't know that I'm God?" He said, "Well, it was explained to me like this. Supposing you're looking for something, you can't find it. You look in this pocket, that pocket, look here and there and everywhere. But then all of a sudden you remember, ah, that's where it is." It's like that. So I said, "Well, what power is it that makes God forget? It must be more powerful than God himself." And he was stunned. Now, I didn't know anything about philosophy or anything, but that just came out. It's just a natural thing. So although I was reading Mayavada philosophy, I never fully bought it. I always considered myself as not an atheist and not a believer, but as an agnostic, that, you know, I couldn't really know one way or the other. And I was always open to hear, which, you know, if I find the truth, then I go that direction. But I was always open. So, those people who consider that God, that we are God, like the Mayavadis, and that we've just forgotten who we are, then you have to ask them, well, what power is it that it's so powerful that it can make God forget? And that doesn't make sense. Then you should worship that power that's more powerful than God. Why are you worshiping number two? Then worship number one. And of course, their whole argument is defeated completely. Because it doesn't make sense. So, they also say, another thing is that they'll say, is that, well, it's just his leela. He's just coming and taking these different bodies and performing this leela. So I say, well then, if everyone's God and he's performing his leela, that means that Osama bin Laden is also God, Hitler is also God, Stalin is also God, mosquito is also God, and cobra is also God. So why is it that God is coming to perform his leela in contrary to all of his teachings in scripture? Why is he behaving like a suicide bomber and blowing himself up and all innocent women and children? So if it's God, then why is he behaving in such a way contradictory to everything he teaches in the scriptures? And again, they have nothing to say. So it's a philosophy that is full of holes. But they'll say, well, maybe I didn't really understand the teachings of Shankaracharya, and I can't represent him, and I can't speak on his behalf. However, I accept his teachings. And this is what Shankaracharya has said. Then I explained to them that Shankaracharya, when he was a very young man, in his late teens, he was extremely intelligent. And he came up with this, he read the scripture and he came up with this idea that we're all one, we're all related, therefore we're all God. And he traveled all over India and spread this teaching. And everyone said, really? Wow, I'm God? Oh, that's amazing. Because in India, people accept things blindly. My mother did it like this, therefore I do it like that. Why? I don't know. It's just the way we did it in our family. Typical response. So, but after his tours and travels, and he sat down in mature realization, as he grew older, he realized he'd made a fundamental mistake. See, there's something called mukhavritti and gunavritti. Mukhavritti means the direct understanding, and gunavritti means indirect understanding. Lord Chaitanya has explained that the mukhavritti is like the sun. It's clear, everyone can see it, there's no question. The gunavritti is like a cloud that covers the sun. So Shankaracharya realized that actually the philosophy that I spread and preached was all gunavritti. I came to conclusions, indirect conclusions, because I couldn't accept what the Shastra says directly. So when he realized his mistake, he began traveling again around India, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He would visit all the temples, like Jagannath Puri. In Jagannath Puri, they say that the Jagannath Astakam was written by Shankaracharya. If you go to Pandharpur, see Vitala, they have the Pandurastakam on the wall, written by Shankaracharya. He went to all the holy temples and wrote these beautiful poems glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He even wrote Vajragovinda, 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 Mudamate. Oh, my fellow, all my followers, students, don't waste your time. You have the wrong conception. Just worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda. Forget all this study. Gyan will take you nowhere. But Vajragovinda, worship Govinda, bhajan, open up your heart. Even commentary. In his commentary of Bhagavad Gita, he wrote Narayana Vya Paravyakta, that Narayana is beyond the manifestation, that Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the influence of illusion. But his followers never accepted his mature realizations because they preferred his immature understanding. They liked it better that I'm God rather than that I'm just a servant of a servant of a servant of God. So even today, 5,000 years later, that's not 5,000, about 1,200 years later, they still believe this. And when I explain to them and say, Vajragovinda, 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 Mudamate, it's very clear what he's saying. He has written these beautiful poems glorifying Lord Jagannath, glorifying Lord Vitala, glorifying the Supreme Personality of God. It's very clear what his mature understanding is. And they say that he's giving this teaching for those people who are at the lower levels of understanding and can't understand that they're God, to bring them to the higher realization that they're God. And then I say to them, you mean to tell me that 1,200 years later, you're going to tell me what he meant, and he couldn't tell me what he meant himself, in his own writings? 1,200 years later, you're going to say to me, this is what he actually meant. Now, how do you know what he actually meant? It's just your own speculation. So in the Bhagavatam and in the Gita, it's very clearly stated that Krishna is independent. He is not conditioned by anything. He's Sarva Shaktiman. That means he's the controller of all energies, including the Maya energy. And Prabhupada gave his famous example that when the president of a country goes to visit the jail, he's not under the laws and rules of that jail. He can come and go freely, but no one else, everyone else is in prison. But he can come and go freely. So similarly, Krishna can come and go freely in this world, which is sometimes compared to a prison, sometimes compared to a hospital. And he's never affected. So here, in Bhagavatam, Krishna is using various analogies to explain how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is independent, not conditioned, and how the conditioned soul does fall under the influence of the modes of material energy and other influences, aham mameti, that I am this body. Because they are only minuscule, they don't have any power of their own, they're not sarva shaktiman, they don't have any shakti. All our shakti simply comes from the higher authorities, from demigods and from Krishna. Ultimately, everything comes from Krishna. Another example that Krishna gives is that the sun is never affected by the clouds. The clouds may come and go, but the sun is completely transcendental. Never is affected in any way. Sometimes we say, it's a cloudy day. Can't see the sun. But actually, if you go above the clouds, the sun is there. The sun is always there. So the sun isn't covered by the clouds. It's us that's covered by the clouds. As soon as you get in a plane, you understand that. It's the clouds that are covering us. So the cloud is like the modes of material energy that are covering us. But we're taking it. We're coming to a wrong conclusion. So, here, the Lord is, as the last line of the purport, as described here, the Lord is eternally infallible and pure. Achyutam, never falls down. Advaitam, achyutam, anadim, anantarupam. Advaitam means he's one. Anantarupam means he's many. He's simultaneously one and many. He's simultaneously here and there, all at once. And this is sometimes difficult for Mayavadis to understand, and I know this because I was a Mayavadi, had Mayavadi tendencies, and I couldn't understand when it was first explained to me. Here is Krishna, sitting on the chariot with Arjuna, and he's God. I said, well, how could he be everywhere if he's sitting in this one place? I couldn't understand it at first. And using my intelligence, I still couldn't understand it. Because it's not something that's logical. But by associating with the devotees, hearing Prabhupada speaking on the tapes, taking prasadam, taking darshan of the deities in the Berry Place Temple, this is in 1972, one day, all of a sudden, bing, the light came on and I realized, well, that is God. He can be here and there simultaneously. That's God. I couldn't understand on my own, but when Krishna gave me the understanding, then I could understand. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna says that I'm seated in everyone's heart and from me comes knowledge. Confirmed. From me comes remembrance, and also from me comes forgetfulness. So these three shaktis, the smriti shakti, the apohan shakti, and the gyan shakti, come from Krishna, from within our heart. He's seated right there. So whatever you know, it's by the mercy of Krishna. He's giving you that gyan shakti so that you know it. Whatever you remember that I'm a devotee, I'm the eternal servant of the Lord, he's giving you that remembrance. But he also has the apahan shakti where he covers you to make you forget. So why would Krishna want to make you forget when his whole mission in all his shastras is to make you to remember? Why, from in his heart, he covers you and makes you forget? What would you think? Yes. We want to forget him. That's the reason. We want to enjoy and exploit the resources of material energy. In order to do that, Krishna covers us so that we forget that we're spiritual. We forget that we're his eternal servitor. And so we can now, in full illusion, think that we can enjoy. But actually, you're never the enjoyers, because there is no enjoyment in the material energy, because the material energy is inert. It's asat, achit, nirananda. It's temporary, has no consciousness. Nirananda, there's no emotion, no feeling. So how you can get pleasure from that? So it's only a perception of pleasure that takes place in our mind. Many times we go into our mind and we write this movie. And in this movie we're doing this or that, we're enjoying with this person or that person, we're going to Bali or to Hawaii. Or some people, they direct sad movies, and in their movie, in their mind, they're suffering, they're the victim, everything goes wrong. But it's all in the mind, and we experience the same feeling as if we were actually there. So sex life, for example, it's all in the mind. We're thinking we're enjoying something external, but it's all in the mind. And when the mind's not there, it's not enjoyable. And you don't even need another person. You just go into your mind and you can fantasize the whole thing. So it's all just a perception. It's not real. It's asat, achit, nirananda, understanding. But what is eternal is connected to Krishna, spiritual energy. So the real enjoyment comes from the supreme enjoyer. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and since we're connected to the supreme enjoyer, only the devotees, the Vaishnavas, can enjoy. Everyone else is suffering, but they're in the illusion that they're enjoying. Therefore Krishna says, Rajya Vidya Rajya Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmam Su Sukam Kartum Abhyayam. That this knowledge that I'm imparting to you is the topmost understanding, the highest knowledge, highest education you can ever get. Rajaguyam, but it's also the most confidential, the most Rajaguyam, the most confidential of all confidential knowledge. And Prabhupada translates that as the most secret of all secrets. It's so secret that when you reveal it to someone, it still remains a secret. Because they don't get it. They can't understand it. And I know that because I experienced that myself. Pavitram, it is the purest knowledge. It is so pure that unless we come to some level of purity, we can't grasp it. Uttamam, it's completely transcendental. We can't relate it to anything within our experience on this three-dimensional time and space so-called reality that we're accustomed to. Pratyakshavagamar dharmyam. But this dharma, this knowledge that I'm giving you, can be directly perceived from within the heart. And then, susukam kartam. Everything you do is joyful. Sukam means joy. Susukam means more joyful than joyful. So sweet, so joyful. Su sukam kartum avyayam. And this joy is never ending. It's inexhaustible. It goes on and on, increasing more and more and more unlimitedly. Anandamaya vyasa. Because we are eternally, our constitutional position is eternally to be the enjoyer. We're enjoying. Because we're part and parcel of the supreme enjoyer. But under the influence of illusion, of Maya, I'm thinking that I'm enjoying in relationship to the material energy. Because it's natural for me to want to enjoy, but because I'm cut off from Krishna, I can't possibly enjoy. Therefore, Krishna covers you, so you're thinking you're in the illusion that I'm enjoying. Everybody wants to enjoy because it's natural. We're part and parcel of Krishna, the supreme enjoyer. But the only true enjoyment is through devotional service when you're connected to Krishna. Otherwise, we're simply sufferers. As soon as we're disconnected from Krishna, we're in anxiety, we're in stress, we're not enjoying. So this teaching that Krishna is giving, it's Raja Vijaya, it's a very high teaching. We know that 100% of children enter into the grade 1, grade 2, grade 3 education system. But by the time you get to the PhD level, there's hardly 1% left. And then beyond that is this higher knowledge. So it's no wonder that there's very few people in the room today who can understand this teaching, because it's so high. So what is our purpose then? We're going out to give this knowledge to other people. How can they possibly understand it? There's only one way, and that is to bring them to a higher level of purity, a purer level of understanding, so that they can grasp it by Krishna's mercy. So we give them Krishna's mercy in the form of Prabhupada's books, the holy name, and prasadam. And when they take prasadam, when they are favorable towards the devotees, because if they like a devotee, that's favorable devotional service. And if they don't like a devotee and they speak ill of a devotee, that's unfavorable. It's offensive mentality. They don't make advancement if they don't like you. But if they like you, they make advancement. If they give a donation, time is money. If they give you $10 and they get $10 an hour, for example, that means they gave an hour of their time to Krishna's devotee. That work that they did, they gave that work to Krishna, to Krishna's devotee. This is how they make advancement. When they enjoy that prasadam, they make advancement. When they hear the holy name, they make advancement. And because they make a little advancement of appreciation, Krishna from within their heart gives them the understanding. Desham satata yukdanam vajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamu payanti te. Desham, anybody, satata yukdanam, always engaged, bhajatam, in worship, priti purvakam, with complete love. So, we have to give our full love to Krishna. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, then he will give us intelligence. He already gives us knowledge and remembrance, but now he's going to give us intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, that intelligence of yoga, bhakti yoga. Yoga means, what does yoga mean? Okay, linking. Anyone else have a different word? How about union? Does yoga mean union?
Yes.
Linking means we're going to link. Union means we're already united. Right? What about reunion? For me, yoga means reunion. Because when you understand the philosophy, we're going back home, back to Krishna. Bhakti yoga is reunion. We're coming again back to Krishna. Which is sweeter, union or reunion?
Yeah.
Reunion is sweeter. I made a mistake, and now I realize, and I'm just coming back. So, dadami buddhi yogam tam, I will give you that intelligence of yoga. Yena mam upayanti te, so that you can come to me. Aha. It's from Krishna's point of view. He wants you to come to him. He's going to make all facilities so that you can come to him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Paramam Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhi Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes, wants you to return to him. And he's going to give you knowledge, and he's going to give you buddhi, intelligence. So how did Prabhupada define knowledge and intelligence? Let's examine this and let's get a clear understanding. Prabhupada said, knowledge means you know what is the material energy, you know what is the spiritual energy, and you know who is the controller of both those energies. That's considered to be knowledge. Anything else is not considered as knowledge, but either skill or craftsmanship or whatever. Building a computer, that's just craftsmanship. Knowledge means understanding the material energy, and that's a vast subject matter, and the spiritual energy, that's an even greater subject matter, and knowing who is the controller of both. So what is intelligence? Prabhupada said, intelligence means acting in that knowledge. Acting in that knowledge, who is the controller of both the energies, material and spiritual, that is intelligence. And Krishna is going to give us that intelligence so that we can act in knowledge so that we come to him. And that's called abhideya, abhideya tattva. Everything that we do, everything I do it for you. I mean, it's a love song to Krishna. This is the devotee's song. You know, we understand. We do everything for Krishna. Yes, it's true. Everything I do it for you. Out of love. Because I get that supreme enjoyment and happiness and fulfillment out of my love for you. And that love I experience through what I do for you. That's what makes me feel fulfilled and happy. You take away the child from the mother and she can never be happy. She's going to suffer no matter what else you do for her. Because her whole connection is based on love. And you take that away and the whole world is empty. So that's just a crude example. But Prabhupada did say that the closest thing to love of God is the love of a mother for the child. I was at a traveling Sankirtan party in 1976 in India. It was three of us, myself, Prabhu Vishnu, and Mahakritu. Then Prabhu Vishnu, he said, I have an idea. I'm going to go see Prabhupada. What's your idea? Well, no one's preaching in Bangladesh and no one's preaching in Nepal. I'm thinking to leave the book distribution party and see if we can open up these countries. So he went to see Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada loved the idea, yes. Now we were the library party. We were distributing full sets of Srila Prabhupada's books in all the libraries, university libraries, public libraries, private libraries, national libraries, city libraries, wherever there was a library. I even went to the medical libraries. And Prabhupada, and this was considered the elite service because you know, they'd get all 60 of Prabhupada's books at one shot. Prabhupada immediately said, yes, you go to these countries, and I'll even make an arrangement. You won't have to collect money. I'll make an arrangement that the MVT will give you a stipend every month for Bangladesh and for Nepal. And then Prabhupada said to him, so you go and preach in these countries with the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. That's how you preach. With courage and heart. Heart of a mother. He said a Bengali mother. And the courage of an Englishman. He was English. Okay, he wouldn't have said prayers of an American. But courage and heart, that's how we're meant to go out and preach. And Krishna will give us all the intelligence we need to behave properly, to act in knowledge, and to connect with people on the soul level, soul to soul, heart to heart. Just the way Krishna connects with everybody. Krishna is in everyone's heart, and he's connecting to everybody through the heart. And as Krishna's representative, we should be connecting through the heart also. And also as Krishna's representative, we should understand the meaning of the word representative. A representative is someone who represents what Krishna already presented. Krishna presents something and we represent it. We present the exact same thing. That means we don't have a different opinion than Krishna. We have the exact same opinion as Krishna. So when Krishna says, Samat Sarveshu Bhuteshu, I see all living entities with equal vision, we should also see all living entities with equal vision. When Krishna says, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, I am the best friend and well-wisher of every living entity, we should also become the best friend and well-wisher of every living entity. Because if not, then we are having a different opinion than Krishna. Then we're not really representing Krishna. Who am I representing then? Sorry? By yourself, exactly. Do you want to represent yourself or do you want to represent Krishna? Represent the parampara, the eternal teachings. Because what Prabhupada is representing is exactly Krishna, 100%. He sees everyone with equal vision. He is the well-wisher of every living entity. Why we should have different opinion than Krishna? Why we should have different opinion than Prabhupada? So we have to come to this understanding. We come to this understanding by follow the process given to us which purifies the heart. But if we don't do it right, because whatever you do, you can do it right or you can do it wrong. There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. So if we take this process but we don't do it properly, we do it wrong, what happens? We don't become purified, and what happens eventually? We leave. Because what you read in the books, you don't experience. So you lose faith. Well, it didn't work for me. But if it worked for somebody else, then it works. So it didn't work for you, you did something wrong, so now correct it and do it right, but don't leave. The example I like to give is, those of you who have been in either biology or chemistry class, there's always part of the course where you have an experiment. And the teacher breaks up the class into different groups, 4 people each maybe, you have 9 or 10 groups, to perform the experiment. And one group always gets it right the first time. And the other groups, it takes them 2 or 3 times and they finally get it right. There's always one group that never gets it right, right? But that doesn't mean that it doesn't work. They just did it wrong, that's all. It's also the same in devotional service. If you don't do it right, we're not going to get the result. If you don't do it right, you don't get the result. Is that fair? Is it just? Of course. Why should you get the same benefit doing it wrong that someone's getting for doing it right? Doesn't make sense. Not logical. So let's do it right. So there's do's and don'ts. Yamas and niyamas. The yamas are the don'ts. We have so many don'ts. And the niyamas are the do's. The do's are the positive things. Do this, do that, do this, do that. The niyamas are the positive. The yamas are the negatives. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. So people generally, they don't like to be told, don't do this, don't do that. The mind reacts in a different way when we say don't than when we say do. So what I've done is I've taken the 10 offenses and turned them into the 10 benedictions. You take a yama, which is a don't, and turn it into a do, which is a niyama. So the first benediction, I always glorify the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. I always glorify them. Second benediction, I always glorify the name of Lord Krishna, and I'm not interested so much in the names of the demigods. Third benediction, I always follow the instructions of my Guru Maharaj. All the way up to the 10th one, I'm always attentive when I'm chanting the holy names of the Lord, and I have no interest in these material attachments because I've understood the instructions that I've heard again and again and again. Rather than saying and maintaining material attachments, even understanding so many instructions on this matter, how does it make you feel? I've heard so many instructions on this matter and still I'm maintaining material and, attachments. It's like a defeatist attitude. So now let's become positive. We're not going to maintain material attachments. We're going to turn material attachments into spiritual attachments. We're not going to negate the senses or the sense objects. We're just going to give the senses spiritual sense objects instead of material sense objects. So the spiritual sense object for the eyes is obviously the deities, the Vaishnavas, the scripture. The spiritual sense objects for the tongue is the prasadam and Krishna Katha. For the ears, it's Hari Kirtan and Krishna Leela. So like this, we understand the philosophy. We do everything in a positive way and turn everything into our life into a benediction. You know, there was a song that was very popular many years ago in America. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Well, that's the teaching of Rupa Goswami, so I don't know what they were studying, Vaishnava Shastra or what, where Krishna just gave them that, hey, here's a good line, Mata Smritir Jnana. Krishna gave them that line. But that's what we should be doing. Accentuating the positive and eliminating the negative. Accentuating the spiritual, eliminating the material. Because every material thought, every negative word or concept that we get entangled with is simply another brick in the wall separating us from Krishna. Maybe I don't like one person. That my holding a grudge against a devotee or finding a fault with some devotee is another brick in the wall separating me from Krishna, because the person that I don't like or I'm finding faults with, Krishna loves. So I have a different opinion than Krishna. I don't love who Krishna loves. And then I say I'm representing Krishna or Guru. You see? So if we get caught in illusion, then we've missed the whole point and we've misunderstood the philosophy. We create our own illusions and we live in our own illusions, even in the temple. When we allow Maya to penetrate into the temple and into our consciousness so that we don't understand the philosophy because we're not acting. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. We're not acting according to an intelligence, which means I understand what is material energy, I understand what's spiritual energy, and I know who's the controller of both. And I am connected to the controller of both, and I have the same opinion as the controller of both, and the same opinion as all the Mahatmas, all the Acharyas coming in parampara. And all the acharyas coming from Parampara are our worshipful gurus, going all the way back to Lord Brahma, who is the head of our sampradaya. Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Vyas, all the way down to us. There are param gurus. And if we look at them and find fault, it's the greatest aparad, Prabhupada said. Greatest aparad. So the devotee is always respectful because the quality of a Vaishnava is he doesn't put any other living entity into anxiety. He won't harm even an ant, quote unquote, from Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because he's their well-wisher. If you're not someone's well-wisher, then you have a different opinion than Krishna. So let's become the well-wisher of everyone. What is the harm? It just means that I have to see something good that they're doing. And then I focus on that and I don't even think about the other things. Perfect example is Putana. She came to kill Krishna. There was nothing good about her intentions. Nothing good in her whole life. Her whole life, she was famous for killing children. Innocent, helpless children. That's why Kamsa recruited her. And she came in disguise as a phony devotee, pretending to be devoted. Oh, Mother Yashoda, your child is so beautiful. The perfection of my life is if I could just hold him in my arms for 1 second. But all she wanted to do was to kill Krishna. So when Prabhupada was giving class on this topic, he said, but Krishna always takes the bright side. Even though there was nothing good there, Krishna took the bright side. And what did he see? She's approaching me like mother. There was nothing good there, but Krishna found something good. Oh, she's approaching me like a mother. So then he sucked out her life there, killed her demoniac tendencies, and her spirit soul was liberated and went back to Vaikuntha. Because Krishna saw something good. He always sees the bright side. So our position is much better than Putana's, right? So our position is much better than Putana's. We're on the path back to Godhead. The only thing that can stop us are these bricks in the wall separating for us from Krishna. We're on the right path. But if we're not doing the right things on the right path, we're going to frustrate our own attempt. We're going to sabotage our own chances to go back home, back to Godhead, by having a different opinion than scripture, than Krishna, than the parampara, having a different mentality. And the only way to purify our mentality is to take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and chant with full care and attention. Care means from the heart, with feeling. I care. And attention means full focus of my consciousness. That's the proper way to chant. So even the chanting you can do the wrong way. You can be thinking I'm better than everybody else. If you're out on the street, these are just the karmis. They're all horrible. But I'm exalted, I'm chanting the holy name. You're just sabotaging your own chances to go back home, back to Godhead, because you're just building this brick wall separating you from Krishna. But when you see everybody out there and you think, I am their servant, and I'm here on behalf of Guru and Krishna to deliver to them the holy name, let me deliver the pure holy name to them by chanting purely, by chanting without offense, by chanting without material considerations or conceptions. Then you're giving them the pure holy name. Not that the holy name can become impure, but I can be impure. And so I can't deliver the pure holy name. So we want to come to that highest standard. Because unless you come to that highest standard, the parampara ends at your generation. You have the responsibility to carry it on to the next generation. So when you accept initiation, you have the responsibility to come to that highest platform. It's no joke. This is serious business. It's a matter of life and death. Really. Eternal life or repeated birth and death. Those are the two choices. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, any comments or questions? Yes.
How do you know that when you're relaxing, sometimes that can be difficult?
Well, there's different ways you can know if you're doing the right thing. One, if you know the scripture, you know if you're doing the right thing or not. And if you're not sure, you can look it up. Or your feeling. How do you feel about this? If you ask yourself the question, what I'm doing, is this pleasing to Guru and Krishna or not? If it's pleasing to Guru and Krishna, it's the right thing. And if it's not, it's the wrong thing. You can also approach a senior Vaishnava and say, you know, is this the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? And get advice from someone who's senior. Is that helpful? Or did that clear it up for you? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.